This town run over, beginning of town run over, and the visit, beginning of the visit with Cookie. This Saturday, about lunchtime, the 26th of December 1970, the 26th of December 1970, Saturday, about lunchtime, the visit with Cookie. This Saturday morning, about lunchtime, the 26th of December 1970, the beginning of Channel 1 over, the beginning of Channel 1 over. This is Channel 1 over, and the beginning of the visit with Cookie. This Saturday morning, the 26th of December 1970, after Christmas, the first day after Christmas. Now, this is Channel 1 over, Channel 1 over, and the beginning of the visit with Cookie. This Saturday morning, 26th of December 1970.
She didn't have to do it to children or people, to my knowledge. It was always on other horses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I guess that's the natural way a horse does.
And ponies are the world's worst.
Yes, ponies. I don't want a pony.
I don't want no more.
What kind of horse is this one you got?
He's a real light palomino.
Oh, really?
But he's got the blue eyes.
Oh.
Like an Appaloosa.
Oh.
And his eyes look weak.
Uh-huh.
That's one of his bad parts.
Mm-hmm.
His eyes look weak.
What horse is that, Cootie?
The one I traded for. But I ain't worried about it.
Huh?
I ain't worrying about it.
Well, you don't have much in it?
No, I ain't got nothing. I ain't got a red penny in it, boy.
You
are. As far as actual cash, I ain't got a nickel in it.
Well, you got $25.
No, that's the way I allowed him $25. Difference in the trade we made, see? See, I traded him a truck and two ponies for a horse, and I got the difference. I traded him a half-ton pickup truck and two ponies for a horse.
And you got?
I got money. I got the price of my truck and my ponies in my pocket.
Well, now, let's see, Cookie. You know, maybe that's one thing it takes to trade. You got to figure fast. Now, you had, these are two little ponies you had over at Alvin's.
Yeah.
And they're wearing him?
Wearing him, yeah.
How are they wearing him?
When he's feeding his cows, they was running his cows away.
Oh, they'd come up and nip them.
Yeah. Don't blame him. I'd have said something, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I mean to work around.
Yeah.
Work around them. Well, I cuss all the time, you see. They think I'm just mean. But, you know, when I have to work around a horse, even old Hubert ain't Humphrey out there. He's harmless. Why, I just cuss. It's just cussing, though, you see. I don't care. Work around him. Now, Jack loaded up on those ponies?
Yeah. He got about 20 head of ponies running right in his backyard.
Well, he must have a notion they're going to bring something.
And he got them?
He bought them before Christmas. He bought them Tuesday before Christmas.
Right before Christmas?
Yeah, in Whitman, Georgia. He went up there and got a trailer load.
Oh, for Christmas?
Yeah, never sold the first one. And he said, he called me up last night. He said, you know, a bunch of ponies after Christmas is just like a Christmas tree. Not worth a damn.
He told you that?
Yeah. So he's got his, he got a bunch of ponies that he don't know what he's going to do with. Well, I ain't got nothing that I don't know what I'm going to do with. I did have, but I ain't no more. Oh, yeah, I got a purebred German Shepherd dog 7 months old out of the deal, too.
Now, you needed a dog, Cookie.
Great big dog. Stands way up there like that. German Shepherd.
7 months, yeah. Got it going.
Man. And that was the wind-up of the deal. See, I made him an offer. He said, no, I won't do that. He said, I'm going to make you an offer. I said, all right, let's hear it. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, I'll give you that horse and $150 for that truck and them two ponies. See, I'd ask him $175 to boot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was figuring fast.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my $25 come in.
Oh.
I said, well, that'll just throw me $25 more on the horse. But I said, I'll tell you what, if you'll do, if you'll give me that German Shepherd puppy laying right there, I'm just going to trade with you. He said, go call your daughter and tell her to come and get you.
Well, you was over there in the truck.
I was over there in the truck, in the trailer, had my horse trailer. So I go in, I right quick. I throwed him a title to the truck, and he gave me the check. Give me a check for $100 and $220 and $10. Right there on the hood of that old truck. Well, I only had $50 in truck stock. $50 in the day's work. Well, you can't count your time anything when you're trading.
No.
So, I went in and called Laura. Now, in about 45 minutes, here she comes, rolling up. I loaded that horse. I asked Jack, I said, Jack, will he load? He says, I don't know. I said, well, we'll find out. I led him around back of that trailer, and he almost knocked me down getting in it. He wanted to go so bad. I loaded that horse and we come to Gainesville. Took Laura over, had to go pick up my Cadillac over at the glass shop. Took Laura over on North Main Street, right across the shopping center, and parked that Pontiac before she could pull out. And I said, I'll see you all in Hawthorne. So she brought the horse and the trailer and the Pontiac from Gainesville on into Hawthorne and unloaded him. Turned him out.
Laura
in? Yeah. That night I come on in. There's a shame of the horse, because he does need a little bit of meat on him. There's all shame of him. I wouldn't, because I know what I get out of him. It's going to be clear profit.
You just get $10.
If I don't get but $10, that's $10 I didn't have. But I'll get more than $10, because I can dress him up a little bit Monday and ride him down around that stock ring a time or two, and he'll bring you pretty good money. Because he is easy in the saddle.
Yeah. Oh, is he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's easy in the saddle. He can move, too.
Oh, Pete, is this the one Cookie was telling you about
mm-hmm.
on the phone?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, from what you said, he was right impressed with this horse.
I was. I am. Still am. Because he's all money.
And easy in the saddle.
Easy in the saddle. I mean, you can just sit there. He's just as easy as you please. He's just 5 years old. He could be made a saddle horse. Just a little work, and he could be made a good saddle horse.
Well, it don't matter how he looks.
He got good feet, good quarters on him.
Well, maybe somebody around the close by might be interested.
Yeah, I got the word out.
Yeah. You know, a horse don't have to look so fine. You know, if he produces. I know people that go around judging cows. Well, in my estimation, there's only one way to judge a cow. And that's by the kind of cash she has.
That's right. You can't go out there and judge them cows you got. You can't do it. Not unless you have got some of her offsprings there to go from. That's the only way. And you got to see a horse produce before you can judge him.
Yes. Well, now, that if you judge the horse by the way he rolled, that put the whole thing in a different light, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's why. That's the reason I went ahead and traded like I did.
Yeah. People buy horses like to do a car. It's pretty.
I think it's worth a nickel. Yeah, I bought one that was pretty. You ever see that horse, Faye?
Mm-hmm. I saw a picture. Lauren had. Is that the one you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. The prettiest thing out here was Champ.
Now, Jack had been, I understood from you that he had been accumulating ponies for the last 6 months.
Oh, he bought a bunch for it's Disneyland down here. Down at Dorlanda?
Yeah.
He took a bunch of ponies down to them. He cleaned out everything he had and took down there about 6 weeks ago. Then he goes back up to Georgia last week and buys about 20 more.
For himself?
Yeah, for Christmas. And he didn't sell the first one.
Well, how did he expect to sell them, Cookie? Who knows that he has got them?
I don't know. I don't know how he gets around like that.
You'd have to have them along the highway or put an ad in the paper or statement of sale or have them on the highway as good as anything else, isn't it?
Yeah.
He probably made something down in Orlando.
Now let me see, Cookie. Jack got the horse from this old nigga.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how much you paid for it?
Yep. Paid $75.
And you got that $75.
I got that 75 plus for that 54 Chevrolet.
And Jack doesn't know that.
He doesn't know that.
So, now how do you figure now what you've got in that horse?
How do I figure what I got in that horse?
Yeah.
I bought the truck for $50.
You got a day's work in the truck.
Day's work. I figure I had about $50 in the ponies. And I got $150 to boot. Between the truck and the ponies and the horse. And a German Shepherd dog.
Now you got $150 boots. Jack gave you, wrote you a check for $100 and handed you $50.
And handed me $50.
Plus the horse.
Plus the horse.
And the dog.
And the dog.
Yeah.
So that leaves me minus nothing in that horse.
And you got rid of your truck.
You got rid of my truck, which was a lemon. I got rid of my ponies, which was an aggravation.
And now you got this horse that looks bony, but he's easy in the saddle.
Easy in the saddle. And if I don't get the $25 or $30 out of him, well, that's $25 or $30 I didn't have.
How do you figure in your hauling?
I just write that off as a dead expense.
The fun of it.
Yeah, for the fun of it.
That's just the overhead.
Yeah.
Now, if you buy a horse and sell it, you pick it up and deliver it, if you paid for that, it'd be costly, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But if you do it yourself, you don't have to charge off much.
No, $2 or $3 for gas.
You got the insurance anyhow.
Yeah. Then he wanted to buy him a horse trailer.
Well, you didn't sell it?
I priced it to him.
He might take you up on it.
This is the one you made.
Yeah. I priced it to him.
Does this pull pretty well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can pull it 80, 85 mile an hour and ain't a bobble in it. That old Pontiac handles it so nice, I just rigged it for it.
And you made that thing from scratch almost, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
You want a piece of this cake, anybody?
Yeah.
It's a little dry.
We like it dry.
Have one piece of cookie?
Give him a little piece, eh?
Yeah, it is. That's enough right there.
But when you get beat, you don't let on.
No. No, you never know when I get beat.
Now, when have you been beat?
When have I been beat? When I bought that first horse. That Palomino. Then when I traded him for Tony Even, I got beat.
Well, now explain to me.
You get $275 for that pretty thing. And traded him even for a yearling Robbie colt. It was worth about a quarter. But he made me mad. And I said I wouldn't feed him the next morning, and I meant it.
You wouldn't feed the Palomino?
That's right.
Or you do?
What did he do? He He reared up 5 times one day and fell backwards with Frank.
And no remedy against that.
Mm-mm. He was mean. Now, he was just mean. But now, Alice, you don't even ride him like you can Hugh Bridge. You put a man on his back, he's ready to go.
Well, you couldn't keep him under those circumstances?
Uh-uh. Can't trust him.
He might do that with Alice sometimes.
That's right. He may get to be on good and do that with her. And I don't want to trust one like that.
And you put out money for him.
$275 in green stuff.
Now he must have sure been pretty.
That was the prettiest piece of horse place I ever saw.
But the man didn't tell you he.
No.
Turned over backwards.
He wouldn't do it every time you got on him.
Yeah. That's a good shout.
No, he wouldn't do it every time you got on him.
How did they get that way, couldn't he?
The only thing I can figure, people just train them that way. Train them to rear up and walk on their hind feet, and they just lose their balance then. If you don't keep exercising them to that effect, well, before long, they're going to lose their balance.
And go right over backwards.
Right over backwards.
With you on them.
And if Frank's foot hadn't slid out of that stirrup, that saddle horn would have went through his chest. And I said I wasn't going to feed him the next morning, and I didn't.
You swapped him even for Tony.
Right.
Not the Tony we know, but another.
No, the Tony was the little sorrel Tony that I had here.
Oh, that one.
I sure did.
Well, where did that little Tony come from?
In Larkin.
And then you took him up to your daddy.
Mm-hmm. My daddy wanted to keep him one winter.
Oh, that's how he got up there.
Yeah. So we took him up. See, Mom and Dad were down. Well, I loaded Tony in the trailer, and we all took Mom and Dad home and took the horse up there. Mm-hmm. And we went hell with up and got him in the pickup truck.
So you give the fella in the locking that pretty horse.
Yeah, even.
And Tony was worth a
quarter.
You got $275 in.
Yeah, plus a trip to West Virginia. And I had more on that horse than anything I've got.
Then you had to geld him and Frank had to ride him out.
Well, he turned out to be a beautiful, remarkable horse, didn't he?
Yeah.
But you and Frank was the one that made him.
And if I could afford to keep him, I could take that little stud we got up there, and I could make a better horse out of him than I did out of Tony.
Yeah.
He's a pretty horse, Cookie.
I could make a better horse out of him. But I ain't got no use for a bunch of horses.
Right at this time.
Right at this time, I've got no use for them.
Yeah.
Children can ride little man.
Yeah, Becky climbed up his leg. He just stood there like an old horse yesterday. Just climbed up his leg and done anything she wanted for her, and Alice rode him all over the place. And he seems to enjoy riding the children.
Yeah.
He does.
No, you couldn't,
No coffee, Cookie.
No.
Well, in a way, Cookie, you couldn't. Well, did the man in locking know he acted like that?
Yes, sir, because I told him.
He didn't know it till you told him?
No.
He never had any experience with him?
He had experience with horses like that. He said he could break him, but he hasn't broke yet.
Oh.
Not to my knowledge.
Yeah.
Cause he's still the same old champ.
Oh, you didn't buy him. You bought Tony from the man from Interlaken.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you got this, the pretty horse somewhere else.
Yeah.
Did they know he was like that?
They didn't tell me that he would do that.
And you don't know whether they know it or not?
I don't know whether they knew it or not. But I told the man in Interlaken that I traded him to that he would rear up and fall backwards with you.
Yeah. And he said he could break him with that.
Yeah, but he couldn't. And he sold him to... the fellow in Fort McCoy, and the fellow in Fort McCoy took him to Ocala at that auction and sold him. And this fellow up here at the Brookford bought him.
Horace Trader?
Yeah. And sold him to our friend out here.
You mean Jack?
No.
Helston. That's not the horse.
That's the horse.
That's the horse. So as long as the little girl rides him,
he'll probably be all right. But you let a man get on him, and I'll bet he'll run off with him. Rare. Just like that.
And that's the reason the little girl couldn't resist the horse. She's so pretty.
He's so pretty, and Alice could ride him, just do anything she wanted to. Go out in the field and catch him. Well, me and that fella up there tried to catch him. We couldn't hem him up and catch him. But I guess the girl caught him. That just falls right back in the same step.
Well, I think they said the little girl had trouble catching him. Faye, you don't remember?
No, the last time I talked with Phyllis, she said he was just perfect for Laura. Lori. And the little boys could ride him.
Well, that's the same horse I own. That's the same horse I give away.
Well, as long as he behaves.
He'll be all right. He's a fine horse. Couldn't ask for better.
Yeah.
He's easy in the saddle. When he's acting halfway decent. But if he ever starts walking stiff-legged, you better get off of him. He's going to put you off.
Yeah.
Right backwards.
Is that right?
If he starts walking stiff-legged, he's going to rear up.
So he gives a little warning.
He gives a little warning, but I didn't know what that warning meant. He reared up with me. No, he didn't go over, but he'd rear up with me.
You know, somehow or other, you don't see much rearing in horses anymore.
I don't want none around that rears up.
It seemed like it used to. You'd see a lot of horses rear up.
Oh, yeah.
This horse I had and was so beautiful. He had been taught to whirl when you mounted. boy, if you didn't have your foot in the stirrup, and if you weren't fast, ready to go over, you didn't have a chance.
You just couldn't get in the saddle.
You just had to know that he whirled.
Mm-hmm.
He was taught that. Looked fancy.
That's it. He was fancy. This horse I had, he was fancy. And hold that head just as pretty as you please. Way up there.
Never get beat. You know that old system, Cookie, of the merchants. These storekeepers would deal in horses. Now they tell this about Mr. Thrasher over here. The old man Thrasher, this man, Danny. He'd have a pen. Horses there, mules, cows. Everybody'd buy from him, you know. But if they got behind in the payments, he'd send out and get the horse. But the way they told us about this old nigga over here, they just let him go easy on him for a while. Up until he just about got the horse paid for. Then if he misses the payment, they really get it. Do you ever have any contact with that system?
Yeah.
Was that the horse traders, merchants?
Mostly the merchants. It wasn't the horse traders. Mostly the merchants.
They just have a few old animals on the side.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have to know much about him.
Gosh, no. If he could stand up, he was a good animal.
Yeah.
As long as he could stand up and walk, that's all they cared about. Gosh, no, they didn't know what that was. I can't keep a horse like that.
Well, how did they get along so much then? Cause you know, these old, they didn't feed the animals. A lot of them didn't, and they'd still work them.
Yeah. I don't know. That's something that's beyond my knowledge. I don't see how in the world they get along like they did.
Raise a crop
with a horse before you could throw your hat at him and hang anywhere.
Yeah.
Ought to be against the law for a man to work a horse in that condition. It ought to be. I know when we were working our horses, they had to be rolling fat or we wouldn't work them.
Cookie, when you was buying cows, cattle, you had to get them as low a nickel as you could. If you're going to make anything, you didn't always make anything. Make them. It's some little expense now. How did you go about pricing them and all like that then?
I bought them by the head all the time and sold them accordingly. If they were fat, I sold them by the pound. And if they weren't fat enough to sell by the pound, I'd run them through by the head.
Oh, I see. Well, now, did you sell them? You didn't necessarily sell them in the market.
Not necessarily. I take them to the market, but very seldom do I ever run them through the market. I'd sell them to a pin hooker on the outside. If I could make a reasonable profit by selling them on the outside before I run them in, I'd sell them and I'd go on back home then.
What would he do with them?
He'd run them through the market.
Oh. He'd give you what he thought he could make something on above that.
Yeah. Well, see there, I would have to, for instance, if I bought a cow for $100 and took her out there, took her to the market and sold her on the outside for $120, and she brought $125 on the market, I made money by selling them for $120. Because I would have had to pay the sale bill, the vaccination bill, and the test bill, which amounted to $6. Every one you run through there cost you $6. So if I could sell them on the outside for within $6-7 of what I thought they'd bring inside, I'd let them go rather than be bothered with them. And let them take the chance on the cow being, whether she'd be good or bad. If she turned out bad, you sold them for nothing. 3 or 4 cents a pound.
Yeah. Well, those fellas, they'd have considerable margin themselves.
Oh, yeah. That's the way they made their living.
Mm-hmm.
They'd buy $5,000 or $6,000 worth every day, every sale day.
That much?
Oh, yeah.
And they'd take them on in?
Let them right on in. Sell them. And if they made $100 that day, well, they made a good week's wages. Cleared $100. They made a good week's wages, see?
Out of all that turnover.
Yeah.
Boy, they could have lost, couldn't they?
They could have lost. They sure could. I did. I was hooked up the same way they were. Farmers and Citizens Bank there in Spencer, West Virginia. See, I did all my business there at the Farmers and Citizens Bank.
They'd cover you?
They'd cover me. I'd go out on Thursday and buy a load of cattle, sell them on Friday, run my checks. They'd go through the bank on Monday. If there's anything left, they send it to me.
Oh. And the bank, they just knew how to handle that.
That's right. They cooperate with you. But you get one of these banks down here to cooperate with you like that.
It's a different breed of banks, isn't it?
Different. It's a different breed of people altogether.
I haven't had any bank business since I've been here.
They ain't a poor man ain't got a ghost of a chance.
And I help these little town banks like over at Lightsquid and one over there at west of Gainesville. I thought you know, probably could do business there, but I couldn't.
No. No.
Seemed like they just must have paid a whole lot for the money that they were handling. Because I couldn't get any of it.
Yeah.
You let your horses in with the colts?
With the colts?
Uh-huh.
No.
Didn't know they did.
Yeah, they're all right. Don't bother.
They're not in with them, Faye.
Well, I put the...
That's all right.
We just put them in the rye.
They've got all they want. They've come out.
suppose they have.
Yeah. You got all they want.
Or they just come out to talk.
They might have just come out to talk. I'll watch them a little bit. If they don't go back in a little while, I'll take them back down and put them in the pen.
Yeah. A little fire feels good today. It is middle of the day. A little fire.
Yeah.
Yesterday it's warm. Good way to hear it, darling.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, now let's see. What is your family just about as usual today? See, Laura's not working today.
Yeah.
Is she?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she works today. And Helen works tonight.
And this is Saturday. I lose track, John.
Helen, she's off tomorrow night and Monday night. When's the university far back up again?
Oh, I don't know. It's after New Year's, you see. I think it's Tuesday.
On Tuesday after New Year's.
I think so. I'd have to look and see.
I think that's about when they're going. Of course, now there'll be a lot of them start coming in. Back in town tomorrow, next.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because there are apartments and the places to live, they have to come back in time to renew their lease before the first of the year.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You see, they just lease them apartments for one semester.
Oh, really?
That's what John Peck does, yeah.
How come?
Well, a lot of them will drop out.
Yes.
Well, if he just got it at least for that one semester, why, that individual is not hanging over a barrel for the second semester, see?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's better for the real estate company and the individual, too, for the lease it by semester. I never thought about it that way until John told me.
Oh yeah, the mortality is pretty high. You know. A lot of them get all crossed up, you know, and can't make it. We go out there sitting in the sun and be more comfortable.
Yeah.
Sort of foolishness. This cake is just a little bit dry, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it is.
And that comes from a mighty good place.
Now that's Channel 1 over around 600. Channel 1 over around 600. I didn't count it. Channel 1 over around 600 this Saturday at lunch, the 26th of December 1970. In a visit with Cookie, this Saturday at lunch, the 26th of December 1970. Channel 1 over around 600. Now I'll put on this little tape from Charles Q. Rault that brought on the talk. Cookie was awfully quiet. His chest was sore. He had the cold or flu or something. And he didn't have much talk in him. He might have got started anyhow. But anyhow, that brought forth all this fine talk.
Well, soul, or both, you'll get along fine with Ben K. Green.
That's the way about horses, eh? One thing about having horses is that you'll always have a few gate and fence problems. They wouldn't feel good if they didn't cause you a little trouble now and then.
Ben K. Green is an uncommon man. He is a doctor, a philosopher, an author, and a trader. And what he doctors, philosophizes on, writes about, and trades are horses. From the time he rode away from his family ranch at the age of 13 until the present moment, Ben K. Green has spent his whole life in corrals and livery stables and wagon yards, cheating and being cheated, measuring, judging, buying, selling, cursing, currying, and talking horses. Where did that little black horse come from?
That's a stray. I don't know who she is or where she came from. She showed up here in the pasture a few days ago.
She seems to be eating your oats, all right.
Yeah, and somebody will come along in a few days that's missed her. Or they may have already missed her and realized the grass is good in this pasture, and they'll be a few days finding her, you know. Either way.
Well, if you were trying to sell me that horse, what would you find good to say about her?
Well, I'd say she's a four-year-old and about 14 hands high and would be ideal for a small rider or kid. And she's a nice little short blocky mare with small feet and a pretty good pony, you know, something you'd be proud of.
And about how much would you ask for a horse like that?
Oh, I'd ask $105 for her. I think she's worth $90, but I'd be trying you, you know. I doubt if she's got much breeding, but I wouldn't tell you that.
Now, suppose, on the other hand, you were trying to buy that little horse.
Well, I'd say I wouldn't be trying to buy her, but if I were, I'd say she's long-backed and short-shouldered, and that her eye didn't set out on the side of her head good enough, and that she probably didn't have good enough feet to carry her weight, and she had a short hind quarter, but I'd think she's a rather common kind of a horse that would be worth about $60. Now, would you rather I'd buy her from you or sell her to you? Huh?
In your long career as a horse trader, did you ever get cheated?
Oh, a million times. You get cheated all the time. And it sharpens you up. It's good for you. And while you're getting cheated, you're liable to learn a trick that you can use for maybe more than it costs you, too, you know. But the man has never been cheated trading horses, didn't trade but once, you know. And that adds zest to the deal. You're always, you never admit you're cheated. And if an old-timer cheats you, or anybody cheats you, it gives you a certain amount of respect for him. And you don't get mad at him or raise any trouble about how he cheated you. You file it for future use.
Did you ever get stuck with a mean horse?
Oh, droves of them. It's easy. And you might buy a horse for some other reason than his disposition, but a good disposition always helps. And horses are not inherently mean, but they might be inherently stupid, and that makes them mean.
That could be a description of some people.
Oh, yeah, I know some friends of mine that I could apply that to.
How rough was it for a horse trader in the early days?
You had your problems, but it was all fun. It was all fun. And I stayed at it when kids my age were getting them a flivver and stripping it down. And once in a while, a rich kid might get a motorcycle, you know. But the old men at the wagon yards and the livery stables had what I wanted. And I was referred to as being backward because I kept some good shod horses and traded horses and stayed at the livery stable and the wagon yard when the other kids were up on Knob Hill, you know.
No regrets.
No regrets. I wouldn't change a day of it.
Ben K. Green wrote the book on horse trading. It is called Horse Trading, and you can read it, but you still won't be a horse trader. It takes a lifetime for that. And since life in the West today is all tractors and combines and pickup trucks, take a good look at Ben K. Green. He's likely the last of his breed you'll be meeting. Charles Kuralt, CBS News, Cumbie, Texas.